Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come here. You're not going to be anything. Jeff, would you grab my hand, please? Praise the Lord. It's like she doesn't trust me or something. You know, life for human beings would not be life without mom. Right? And I found out in 2005, life does go on and God is good, but life on planet Earth is not quite the same when mom's not there. And so we just wanted, that's why I grabbed her up here. If you're a mom today, a mom in any way, form, or capacity, would you stand up so we could acknowledge you? Praise God. We wanted to bless you. Praise God. Thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do and all that you give. Amen. While you're standing, let's reach our hands out toward them, hon, and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Pastor Amber and I, we stretch our hands out and all the men here praying for these that are standing. Thank you, Father. The lady is part of who you are. It was pulled out of creation in the heart of God and so wonderfully reflected in all that is a mom. And Father, your word says that we should forever honor our father and our mother, and we do so today. We're so thankful for the wonderful gifts that we've had in our moms, our stepmoms, our mentors, our first ladies, in any form or fashion. I just thank you. We bless them. We pray that they be honored for all that they are and all that they do. We ask that, God, that you would give and grant them their heart's desire in this season of their life. God, grant them wonderful and special moments with all of their children, whether they be infant or adult. And we just call them blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 See, that wasn't so hard. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You ready to get in the Word a little bit? Amen. Let's get into the Word. Let me get myself organized here and find out where we want to go. I think I want us to turn this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And one of the things that we really had to overcome this week was issues with the projector and projectors. And I want to thank my staff and everybody, Mark, Karen, Melissa, everybody that was just involved with that. My son Rex, Maurice. Sorry, I am thankful for you, Maurice, but I praise God. Anyway, I met Micah. And anyway, they were hanging from the chandeliers and doing all this kind of stuff. The projectors, if you don't know, they've been up there since day one. And so they're 12 years old. And we are beginning to have some issues with them. And that's a major deal you don't want to have during any service, but especially a major conference. So we'll get up this week and we'll figure out if we can do anything with this one. We will see. If not, we're going to also be looking, our staff, the week. We've already begun to make preparations. I'd like to do the LED wall. That's the highest thing that I'd like to do. That is a bigger investment. But even replacement projectors, if we went with projection, we'd want to take a significant step up from where we are now. And so, but anyway, be believing with us. We have a supply for all the equipment we need. I know back, Jesus had very effective ministry without any technology. But in this day and age, it really does enhance how we do church and how we reach people. And so we'll get back with everybody and appreciate you guys. I wanted the staff to rest. That's why the grass isn't mowed. That's why so anything. But praise God, more to come on that. Hallelujah. But you're all right, aren't you? I mean, you're probably, I get all, you guys are probably like, well, okay, you know, no big deal. But it's a different deal for me. All right, Romans chapter 8. So praise God for our visitors and guests, new folks, for quite a few weeks now, you could say even months, we have been on Sunday mornings emphasizing from the Word of God the importance of the will of God in our life. Yes. Living in the will of God. All that is connected to finding, discovering, and faithfully walking out God's plan for your life. Amen. And I just don't have time to go back and rehearse all of that. It's on our podcast, our website, a lot of different venues, our Facebook feed. Go back and feed on those messages. But now we've come to a place in this study and ministry time where we're moving over into how do I hear from God? You know, I just don't believe, you know, thank God for what you have in your lap, whether it's a tablet or your Bible there. what we have there. It's always going to have the premier place. The Bible says about the Bible, about the Word of God, that it is a light unto our path. It is a lamp unto our feet. Amen. And no one is safe following the Spirit who is not well taught and grounded in the Word. Right? Because the Holy Spirit's not the only spirit in the spirit realm. And there is a deceiver. He's defeated, but he's loose. And he's subtle. And he's crafty. And he's an imitator. And he'll do everything he can to keep believers from following the Spirit of God accurately for their life. So the Bible's going to give us a very, very wonderful, safe, and solid foundation upon which to build our spiritual life. All of our spiritual experiences should be filtered and judged by what the Word of God says. Amen. But I don't just believe, I know that it will not be possible for me or for you to walk out the perfect will of God, the specific perfect will of God for your life, my life, apart from being able to specifically and distinctly hear from God on a regular basis. Amen. Amen. Because you can't turn to a specific page in the Bible and find the name of the one you're supposed to marry, the city you're supposed to live in, the local church you're supposed to plant your family in. And yet we can be specifically and distinctly and accurately led regarding all of these specific decisions. Yes. Amen? Amen? Well, my motor's already running pretty good, but we'd rather stop and pray. Amen? Amen. Let's ask God to get involved with us here. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we minister the Word, as we teach the Word, we thank you, Father God, for enlightening our hearts, enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Father God, how you speak, what does your voice sound like? What is the different ways that you lead and guide your people today in this new covenant? Father, help me as the minister to be an able minister of the new covenant. Help me to speak the word of the Lord with boldness, with accuracy, and with simplicity. Help every person to have a listening ear, a hearing ear, a seeing eye, and a heart that perceives. And we just thank you for help today. God, I just know that if you can help me to help them hear from you better, then I know this. I know I've helped them in every area of their life. Amen. And we're going to give you praise and thanks in advance for it, because we're believing by faith that what we just prayed is being accomplished. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And but you know, a lot of believers, a lot of Christians do not believe that it's even possible to specifically and distinctly hear from God. Amen. But do you know you can and you should? You can and you should. We won't turn there for time's sake. But for instance, in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy by the Spirit, and he's writing that letter. He says, for the Holy Spirit says expressly. That word in the Greek means distinctly, with clarity. In other words, Paul knew, there wasn't any doubt what the Holy Ghost was saying right then. Amen. We do not have to just, we're not trying to just with vagueness, with generalities, trying to get some sort of sense of what direction maybe God might have us go, but ultimately we're really grasping. We're hoping. We're doing our best. No, we can be accurately, specifically, right? We can hear from God. Not just the ministers, not just apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, but the layperson. Amen? I mean, you should know that you are safe every time you get on an airplane. You shouldn't get on an airplane hoping it's going to be all right. You can know. You can know. You can know whether or not you're safe to move forward in a particular relationship. You can know. Amen? Praise God. Everyone say, I have a right to hear from God. And I do hear from God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a foundation for that last Sunday. You'd have to go back and get it. But here in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse number 14, Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, here the term sons of God doesn't have anything to do with gender. Right? Praise God. If we are born again, if Jesus is our Lord, then we have been given the benefits and the standing of sonship. Amen. Amen. All of the rights, all the blessings, all the privileges of being a son of God, the heir of God, an heir of God. And one of these benefits is we get to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Let's turn this around. This says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." You could say it this way: sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Yes. Amen.
Not just ministers, not just people with special callings. Amen. But if we are children of God, we are sons of God, and therefore we are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I have gotten to, I do not have a perfect track record, I don't think any of us do, in being led by the Spirit. But I can say I'm getting better and better and better as time goes along. More and more and more accurate. Amen. And I'm making fewer and fewer wrong decisions and fewer mistakes. You know, for me, one of the great blessings of being in meetings is getting to have the honor of getting to go back in the back room and to sit next to Pastor Nancy and listen to her talk. And she got to talking the last night of the meeting about how she's got a reputation of being what people call slow in making decisions, putting things on her calendar, administrative things, you know, staff pressing her for different, got to make this decision, got to make that decision, what are you going to do here, what are you going to do there, right? And then she was relating about another minister in the fellowship was kind of, you know, "That's the one thing I just don't like much about Pastor Nancy, is she's just so slow. I'm fast, I can make a decision." And he was actually telling his congregation this. And then he had to call Pastor Nancy and say, "I had to repent. I'm having to undo this. I'm having to back out of this. I'm having to change this. I'm having to reverse this." Why? Because he was too fast. He's too fast. Amen. And, you know, I appreciate hearing certain things because, you know, the Bible says, "He that maketh," "he that believeth shall not make haste." One of the things about a person who's really trusting God and is in faith, they're not hasty. They are willing to wait. See, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not deciding my way through life. I'm following my way through life. This is a huge difference. Are you deciding your way through life? That's an inferior way to live. Because there's someone bigger than me, higher than me, more powerful than me, who sees all, and I only see a little tiny, 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 tiny bit, but He sees everything. He lives right now. God Almighty is living in the past. He is living in the present, and He is right now living in my future. So if my life were a movie, He has already seen the movie a million times. And He has already ordained and authored a path that will get me from where I am now, get you from where you are now, to that wonderful place called the finish line where God wants you to be. But we will never get there deciding our way through life, desiring our way through life, following our opinions and thoughts and reasonings through life. We have to get to the place where we're willing to follow. Go back. Let's go back. It just seems good to me to go back. Let's go back to Psalm 23. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 23. Glory to God. I know it doesn't seem like it to the natural mind, but it is possible for a believer never to make another wrong decision. Never to go the wrong direction again. It's possible.
Amen.
I said it's possible.
Amen.
One minister I really appreciate, he said, as a young man, as a teenager, he said he made this decision. He said, if I could learn to hear from God, I have it made. That's the way he, if I could learn to hear from God, I've got it made. Why? Because he's already decided to do what he heard. See, he'd come to the place as a teenager that God knew more than him. God was bigger than him. There was nothing God was going to be able to author or plant, nothing that he would be able to dream up for his own life that would be greater than what God had ordained for his life. He'd already got that settled. And so to him, the only thing he had left to do, if I can learn to hear from God, I know I got it made. Then many years later, he'd get up and relate that and say, now, a few years later, I can really say. Because now he's lived a long enough time doing this that that's exactly right. If we can learn to hear from God and just do what he says. Amen. How many of you don't like making heavyweight decisions? Is there anybody that'd be willing to, you just don't really relish making earth-changing, life-affecting decisions. Some people, you're going to argue between here and the car about where to eat. Now today, you shouldn't have that argument because mom is here. But I don't know about you. People around us that are around the Cody's after service, they know. They know what's coming. We're all going to have to argue about where we're going to eat. I don't like making all these big heavyweight decisions. And you know what I found out in the Word? I don't have to make another decision. I don't have to make any more decisions. All I got to do is hear from Him. Just hear from Him. You know, there are times, it doesn't happen to me a lot, thankfully, but there are times where people will bring mild to strong degrees of pressure on me about, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Y'all ever feel that? What are you going to do? Where are we going? What's the direction? What's the decision? Or people will come to me and they'll let me know what they want me to do. Right? Sometimes they don't mean it in a lot of times they don't mean that in a wrong, but they're letting me know the minister they want me to bring in, how they think I ought to do it. And I learned this from another minister. He would tell them when he got that kind of thing, I don't even do what I want to do. I don't even do what I want to do. Why would I do what you want me to do? I love that. And that's true. This way I'm trying to live. I don't do what I want to do. I don't invite who I want. I don't even do, right? I'm endeavoring to hear from Him. So why would I do what you want me to do when I don't even do what I want to do? Amen. Praise God. But we need to be, if you want to live the highest of the high, the best of the best, and be the most fruitful, accurate, fulfilling the God-ordained plan of God for your life, you just have to be real interested in what we're talking about right now. Yeah. Amen. In hearing from Him. Amen. Praise God. Look here in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 1 says, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not lack. See, so someone who's got a shepherd and is paying attention, who is following the shepherd, will end up with no lack in their life. No lack in their life. Look at this. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He leads me. That is so precious to me. He leads me. You should say that. Say that out. He leads me. I know that's David saying that. Amen. But it's in the canon of our scripture. And according to Romans chapter 8 verse 14, He leads me too. He leads you too. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He leads me. And whether or not we hear and follow His leading is going to have a dramatic impact on the outcome of our life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Life and death. A life of heartache and tragedy and hardship versus a blessed life, a happy life, a productive and fruitful life hinges on hearing from Him. Because God didn't author anything tragic for you. God did not author anything unfulfilling, frustrating. Now, God authored the call I'm in, and not everything about that call is fun on my flesh. But it's fulfilling. I said it's fulfilling. It's not all been fun, but it has been fulfilling. And God certainly has been faithful. Amen. Praise God. God will call on us to do hard things. Yes, He will. He'll call on people to leave the life that they want and go on the mission field. You know, he'll call us to, and He does, He commands us to walk in love towards those who hate us, revile us, and despise us. Speak all manner of false things. He says, you're blessed. You are so blessed. Great is your reward in heaven if people cuss you, revile you, and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. Amen. So when that happens to me, I go, glory. I just got blessed. I mean, they just cussed me real good. My reward in heaven just got better. Everything they just said was so ugly and so false. I must be really blessed. Now, I don't feel like saying that. I don't feel like throwing my hands up. I feel like throwing my hands this away. That's where going back to the Word is important. Amen. Amen. So, praise God. Now go back to 1 Samuel. We were there earlier. And let's gain some ground this morning. 1 Samuel. Y'all comfortable? 1 Samuel chapter 3. So while you're turning there, just a quick little background, context. There was a lady named Hannah. She was married. Her husband had more than one wife, as was common back then. And the other wife was not nearly as loved by the husband as she was loved by the husband. But this other wife, was having children. And she had not conceived. And the other one is mocking her all the time, making life really difficult. Well, came time for Hannah to come to the temple with her husband. And she gets off in prayer and makes her petition to God. And she says, God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And God heard and answered Hannah's prayer. And that time of life next year, Samuel, one of Israel's greatest prophets, is born. Hannah holds on to Samuel just long enough to wean him. And when, think about this on Mother's Day. Here she comes, it's her Isaac, it's her miracle baby. And she's going to keep her vow to God. Next year when she goes to the temple, she leaves Samuel there with the high priest to be raised in the temple and be taught and trained. Now, of course, God so blessed her, she had more sons and daughters after that. Yeah. But Samuel is a special, amen, special life. So now we don't know exactly when you get to 1 Samuel 3, I don't think, I've read it recently, I don't think we know exactly how old, but he's a little guy. He's a little guy, and Eli, the high priest, is raising him. Right. And raising him as a guardian, but raising him in the things of God too. And so here, let's pick it up in verse number 1. And it says, and the child Samuel ministered, and that just simply means served, unto the Lord before Eli. And notice this, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now, your translation may say something better. It was rare. It was rare. In other words, very few people were hearing from God. God was being quiet in this season. To know why, you'd have to know, like I said earlier, about Eli being evil. And Eli's sons being evil. You know, you want God to grow quiet on you. Just live in open rebellion against Him. Right? And so the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision or revelation. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, so he went to bed, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Here's a little kid. Does he hear something?
Yes.
He hears something. Does he hear? We know he did. He says, here I am. Right. Here I am. But then look and see what happens next in verse 5. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Can you hear God say something to you?
Yes.
And you heard it, but you didn't recognize that what you heard was from God. Happened with Samuel. And it happens with us today. So he said, for you called me. And he said, I called you not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again. Notice it says the Lord. The Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, what this means here in context is he had not yet become acquainted with the Lord's voice. That's what that means. He had not yet become acquainted or familiar with God's voice and how God spoke. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that you shall speak, or say, speak, Lord. Okay, Eli says, go lie down, and it will be, if he call thee, that you will say. Here's what I want you to say, Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called. Look at this. As at other times. As at other times. So here, even a little guy, a little kid, God had repeatedly endeavored to speak to him. Yeah. But he didn't get it. He didn't get it. He's not doing anything wrong. He didn't get it. Are you with me? As at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, and he went on. Now, this is interesting. There's a lot we could learn here. The first thing I brought us here to see is there is a learning curve. There is a learning process to hearing from God.
Amen.
You're not going to start out proficient. Hello? You're not going to start out proficient. You're going to have to, like Samuel, figure some stuff out. Notice how helpful it is that Samuel, even though Eli's character was really flawed, he was still in authority. He was still in a God-ordained position. And he had a man of God that could help him. Okay, two people on the front row got that one. Did you hear Pastor Nancy say this week, having how important it was, she'd used the phrase, to have someone in your life that knows God better than you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes, we individually hear from God, but we're learning.
That's right.
And the younger you are in the Lord, and the newer you are in these things, the more interested you ought to be in what the seasoned, God-ordained man or woman of God in your life thinks about what you're thinking.
Amen.
Now, you got to be careful with that, because not to control, not to lead, not to guide, not to make your decision for you.
Right.
Amen. But I so value that I have spiritual parents. That especially the weightier the decision, the more impactful the decision, that I can go to people who've been in the body of Christ longer than me, are further developed spiritually than I am, and that I could run this by them, everything about it, and they speak into it.
Yes.
The Bible says through the multitude of counselors, plans succeed.
Right.
That there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Amen. We should never, become more and more and more confident that I hear from God. But we should also be willing to submit sometimes, just for counsel's sake, amen, what we think God is saying to us, to people who are in authority over us in the Lord.
Amen.
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 But there is a learning curve. Here's another thing that I love about this. God will keep trying. God's not going to quit on you. Right? He knows you're learning. He knows Samuel's just a boy. He knows Samuel's new. He didn't just call him once and say, you didn't get it, you missed it. Sorry, I'm going on some other place. You missed your chance. No, notice how loving and merciful God is, right? To keep at it. How many of you could look back, at least part of your testimony, and you look back now and you go, that was God dogging my tracks. That was God dealing with me. Anybody? Especially before you got saved? Yeah. Amen. Maybe it wasn't an audible message. God didn't write it in the sky. But you recognize God's dealings with you. Well, bring those lessons forward. So I love that about this example that God, He spoke and He spoke again. He spoke and He spoke again. He spoke and He spoke again. But this is also very interesting to me. The substance, the major substance of what God was wanting to say to Samuel, He never said until He got a right response from Samuel. All God was doing, He would show up and go, Samuel. 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 Okay, he didn't get it. We'll try tomorrow night. We'll try tomorrow night. But what was he? Samuel. What he was trying to get Samuel to acknowledge God. To recognize that invitation to enter into a conversation. Three times in one night, Samuel, 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 Samuel. But when Eli said, if you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord. Go on, say what you want to say, Lord, for your servant hears. Amen. Notice he had a newbie tell God by faith, your servant hears.
Right. Yeah. 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 Amen.
He didn't say, tell God, forgive me, Lord, I'm hard as a rock and dull of hearing. No, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. In other words, acknowledge him and open the door.
Amen.
And when Samuel did that, the substance of what God wanted to say was delivered.
Amen.
God has something to say.
Amen.
God's got something to say. Well, He's God, but He needs your acknowledgement. He needs you to recognize the invitation to a conversation. You have to learn this about the Holy Spirit. He is a perfect gentleman. It's so rare that He is going to invade and intrude in your life uninvited. Do you want to Him to speak to you? Are you interested in what He might say? And a lot of people, if they were really honest, would say, no, not really. Because I'm totally terrified about what He might say to me. Because I know my attitude and I know how I've been living and I know what I want out of life, and it's not anything in line with what He's ordained in my life. I like to party. I like that. I like that. Well, He's going to leave you to it. He'll leave you to it. And don't think that that's His endorsement. That's not His pleasure. He's a perfect gentleman.
Amen.
Very rarely will He intrude into your life. He needs to be acknowledged.
Amen.
What did the Bible say? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He'll order your steps.
Yeah, sure.
In what areas of our life is God actively ordering those steps? Only those areas in which we are acknowledging Him.
Yeah.
Some people take that verse and say, He's ordering all my steps. So I'm just living and all my steps are ordered. And that's not what that means. He said, acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the Lord will direct all your steps.
Amen.
How many of you would like God to be more involved guiding your financial steps?
Yes.
Are we acknowledging Him? Are we bringing Him in? Are we letting Him speak to us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. We could all have sweeter relationships, sweeter marriages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we letting His Word speak to us, His written Word? Are we letting the Holy Ghost deal with us? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, if you're laying awake at night and all of a sudden you're sleeping good and all of a sudden you're conscious and you're still and you're awake and you hear, Amber. Well, don't go back to bed. Don't go back to bed. He may want to tell you what the next Yahoo at $5 is when the market opens and you're going to miss it. I said, you're going to miss it. How many of you know God knows how to turn 20,000 into 75,000? Oh, he's not interested in that. The Bible says in Isaiah that the Lord our God teaches us to profit. Yeah. Yeah. P-R-O-F-I-T. Yeah. To gain, to increase. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. There's a lot here. You see here, okay, before we shift away, there's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. There's a learning curve. Yeah. Yeah. We won't become proficient in one little thing. Sure. Number two, we can be comforted in the knowledge that he's going to keep trying. Amen. He's going to keep speaking. Amen.
Amen.
And then thirdly, we see that the very thing that God wants to say to us, he won't be able to say until we acknowledge and invite him. How come you think, why go through the whole thing of sending Gabriel to young Mary? If it's the will of God and God just does what he wants in our life, all of our steps are ordered, why didn't she just wake up pregnant?
Right.
Because he's not... How many of you know that's kind of going to affect how life goes for Mary from that time forward? You know, God is, I don't know if you know God very well. I'm still learning about our Father. He's so considerate. He didn't force that on her. He sent Gabriel down there to get her consent, to get her permission, to get her agreement. You know what, if you want God to have his way in your life, you're going to have to give your consent. He will honor your choice all the way to the gates of Hades. He is honorable. And he gave you that right of choice. And he will respect it all the way to eternal damnation. She's got to know that about him. But he's so eager to speak. Amen? So eager to speak. So jealous. So anxious, if I could say, so desirous that you would come into that place where you're talking to him, but he's talking back to you. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, time's almost out. Let's introduce a little thought, praise God, before we close the service. Go with me all the way to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and then we'll just have to pick it up here again next Sunday. Would that be all right? Just pick it up here next Sunday. And what I want to introduce is this, how does he lead? How does he speak? Well, God's certainly not limited. Right. How many of you know if God wanted to say something and all of us hear it with these things called ears on the side of our head all at the same time, how do you know that would not be hard for him? Right. He could whisper from heaven and we would all hear it and he wouldn't need a megaphone. But as regular order, if I could say that, that kind of leading and speaking is not how God's chosen to do it. So here's what I want to introduce to you before we go. God is a spirit. Did you know that? God is a spirit being. And you are a spirit. You are a spirit being. Well, it would make sense then if God is a spirit and you are a spirit and his Holy Spirit has come to live in your spirit, what's the most efficient way for him to speak to you? Spirit to spirit. It's not even a long distance call. Amen. The Bible says, Rex, 1 Corinthians 6:17, right around in there, that he that has been joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Yes. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Praise God. So for the one who's born again, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to abide in our spirit. Yeah. Glory to God. And that Holy Spirit, amen, is the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us. And he's in your spirit. Well, this is what we're introducing and we'll pick up, Lord willing, next time and really get into. The vast majority of Christians, when I say things, or when you hear Pastor Nancy or somebody say, we're led by the Spirit, God speaks to us in your spirit. That's not helpful for a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians don't even know that they're a spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they've accepted from the Word of God that they are a spirit, they don't know how to locate their spirit. They don't know how to distinguish between what is their spirit and the other parts of their being.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to learn, if we're going to, remember I told you a learning process.
Yes, sir.
If we're going to become skillful in being led every day by the Holy Ghost, spirit to spirit, deep calling unto deep, led by the Holy Ghost,
amen,
then we're going to have to become aware, we're going to have to be able to locate our own spirit within us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. And that's old teaching. We'll read this verse. And then I think Miss Joy's going to come. We're going to bless my wife, I think. And praise God. And I know we got Mother's Day plans. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 is a wonderful verse when it comes to talking about the makeup of a human being. And it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify," set you apart, "wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y, "or completely. And I pray God," look at this, "your whole what?
Spirit.
Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? So you are not what the atheists will tell you, a body. A body with a functioning brain which gives you some sort of consciousness. You are more than a body.
Yes.
Now most people, they're living inside that body. And they can tell, I have a body, but there's more than me. There's more than that to what's going on here. So many human beings, whether they're people of faith or they're secular, acknowledge that that a human being is at least body and soul. That we have consciousness, we have emotions, we have intellect, we have reasoning abilities.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Something beyond the physical function of just a brain. Amen. But the Bible teaches beyond that. The Bible will give you the whole story.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Mankind is not body and soul.
Right.
Mankind is first, Paul got it right. Man is first a spirit. You are a spirit being.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why Jesus could say, "He that believeth in me shall never die."
Amen.
Though he die, yet shall he live. He's talking about your body's going to die, but the real you, the spirit man, lives on.
Amen.
For eternity.
Amen.
It's just going to be a matter of where you spend it.
Right.
You are an eternal spirit creature, being.
Amen.
You have a soul. You have a soul. It's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Amen.
Amen. And you live in a body.
Yes, sir.
You live in a body. But as I've said to you, how is God going to? Regular order for God's leadings and His voice and His speaking. It is spirit to spirit. It is not spirit to body. Oh, I felt a goosebump. That must be God. It might be. It might not be. I've been to a movie. I've got a goosebump watching the Avengers. That's not God. Right? We come into the presence of God and got into places and flows of the Spirit like we did this week, and the emotions become affected. But the fact that I had emotions doesn't mean that's God. Could be, could not be. Right? So when people come in and they say things to me like, "Pastor, I just really feel. I just really feel, la 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 la, I need to do this, this is your way off over here." Uh-huh. So you're being led by how you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like many people are. But let's not call that God.
Right.
Let's not call that God.
Amen.
See, if you're moving and making decisions, if you came to church today because you felt like it, you were led here by your emotions. If you did not come to church today because you didn't feel like it, you didn't come because you didn't feel like it. You were led by your emotions. Don't call it God.
Right. Right.
Christians are calling things God that are not God.
Amen.
Well, I went into a room and I really felt this thing right here. Woo! That's not God.
Right.
Now we can come into a place where the physical part of our being is affected, but that's not the safest way to call something God. Amen. So next week we're going to get into, how do I locate my spirit? How do I distinguish between, especially, what's of the soul, what's of the spirit? Amen. How do I separate what God is saying in my spirit versus what's going on in my mind? How many of you think that would be helpful? Yeah. In becoming, you know, Samuel became. He might be, there's an argument to be made, maybe other than Moses, one of the mightiest, most significant, weighty men of God that God ever used in the Old Testament was the prophet Samuel. And it all began as a little boy hearing this, Samuel. But he learned, he became really accurate in knowing the word of the Lord came to me. So much so that kings would come to him and make their war plans based on what he said, God said to him. All right, this is exciting to me that we can live in this dangerous, uncertain world with such confidence and certainty. I know what God is saying to me.